We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out pear.com today to learn more. That's pair.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Riverfront. This is episode number 417 of the world's most dangerous podcast. We are live now on YouTube, on the Twitters, on Facebook. If you're watching one of those, you already know we're live. If not, you'll start streaming in, I imagine, here at some point. So you're welcome to join us as soon as you can. And if not, we're going to be available on all our regular streams, audio, video, and well, that's about all audio and video, right? Nothing else. I'm Chad Dotson, your host. With me again this week is my buddy Nate. How are you today, Nate?
Chad, I'm great. How are you doing?
Wonderful, wonderful.
You're sounding good. I'm excited to be here, talk about the Reds. Really just get to hang out with my bro. Maybe a little Bill Lack later. Let's do this.
Yeah, it looks like Bill Lack may be able to join us here in a little bit, so we're hopeful that that's going to happen at some point. But this is The Riverfront. And we're going to begin with, this is not the news of the week in terms of the Reds, but it kind of is in terms of the Riverfront plus the Reds, which is this this billboard. Have you heard of this billboard thing we've been laughing about for months, Nate?
Some people have sent out some tweets that I've noticed. They've had our names attached to it. I'm not really sure, but yeah, this billboard is happening. As soon as we get off here, I will send over to Joe Farfson, who's done an incredible job helping us organize this. The contract's been signed. I'll send him the final file, and we are, as of this recording, just a couple $100 away from our goal. And I know that we've pledged to take care of any difference, and this thing is really, really happening. So I'm pretty pumped about it.
Yeah, we actually got we're pretty close now. Yeah, we started it last week, and we're within $355. I think I haven't refreshed the page, but within $355 of our goal, which is amazing. 159 people have donated. I mean, it's really been a is anything going to change because of a billboard that says "Sell the Team, Bob"? Okay, probably not, but it's a chance for Reds fans to kind of send a message. Send a message that they're probably ignore. We understand that going in, but just that this is to show that we're not happy. This is an opportunity to show that we're just not happy with the way the Castellini regime has run this organization. So yeah, we're gonna hopefully we'll get to our goal very soon. If we don't, the Riverfront's going to cover the rest of it. I've already donated personally, but the Riverfront will cover the rest of whatever it takes to get there. We are going to do this billboard. It will be up sometime this coming week, and that's kind of crazy. Sell the Team, Bob. Hash Brown, Sell the Team, Bob. We laughed about it for a while, but I don't know. This is kind of a fun little thing, right?
This movement already began before I really became part of the podcast. And it just seemed like it was going to be one of those things that we talked about and never actually made happen, like a fun little running gag. And then all of that, that week of rough news on the Reds front kind of made the call for it quite a bit louder. So here we are. We're about ready to pull the trigger.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. I want to go ahead and address something off the top because there were not very many, three trolls probably on Twitter. There, if you post anything on Twitter, you're going to find trolls. Those of you that said this nonsense, you're a troll. And some of our members of the family tried to respond, but I thought I'd go ahead and say something. People were like, why does it have the Riverfront's ad on it? You're going to GoFundMe to do an ad for the Riverfront. Okay. Well, look, whatever. Be a troll if you want to be a troll. The fact of the matter is this. We could have put up just a hashtag sell the Bob. Sell the Bob team.
Also
billboard. Sell the Bob team. Nobody knows who it is. By putting our logo on there, it says it's fans. It's not just some rich guy, getting a billboard. But more than that, it's this. The fact of the matter is, this was kind of conceived here at the Riverfront. Our family, Joe Forrest, you already mentioned, but he's actually gone to companies, more than one company, to try to find the placement, try to get a contract together. We're going to cover the rest of it. This has been a Riverfront family, our Patreon family. This has been born. I know we've been talking about it a lot on Twitter over the last months, but on our private Slack channel at the Riverfront, patreon.com/riverfrontcincy. We talk about this every day. We're making these plans, and this has been a Riverfront project. And so, it's not about advertisement. Who cares? We're losing money on this deal. We lost money on the t-shirts. Who cares? Right. We're just, it's kind of a movement that we're having a little bit of fun with, but I don't know. I think that's, it's making a statement, from fans, for fans. And I can't wait to see that first picture that comes in this in the next few days when the billboard goes up. It's going to be fun. So I wanted to go ahead and mention that.
Yeah, well said. We learned for centuries that trolls live under bridges. Turns out they live on Twitter.
Yes. So screw you guys. We had one question. These come from our friends again at patreon.com/riverfrontcincy. This week's viewer mail questions. One comes from our friend Joey Gaditza. Joey says, hey, guys. There's more than that, not just hey, guys. With the billboard on the verge of being displayed, when he learns of it or sees it, do you think Bob will publicly address it? Or perhaps someone in the organization will on his behalf, maybe Nick Kroll, because he's so good at talking. I hope someone does. Hear what they have to say. Ha ha. So Joey's asking that question. Is anyone going to mention him? I'll let you say what you want, Nate, about it, but the answer is probably almost certainly no, unless it's some kind of big, huge viral moment. Let's not count on that. But and they're forced to address it. But Bob only answers questions in scripted format, as we saw from his recent conversation with Tommy Thrall, which was embarrassing. I said I wasn't going to comment on it again, and we're not going to talk about it much more here, except to say that it's an embarrassment. Phil Castellani made some ridiculous comments yesterday about that we should trust them. If they say anything, it's going to be nonsense. You don't need to believe any of it anyway. But I would say that almost certainly no, but I'm really hopeful that it gets some conversation going. And I think I'll find out if there is some discussion within the front office. I think I will hear that and we'll report back. But anyway, what do you think, Nate?
I think you're right. I don't think that we'll hear anything, but I get a lot of pleasure from the idea. We know how heated Bob gets and how personally he takes some of this stuff. So the thought of him stomping around his office mad about a billboard brings me joy to no end.
Yeah, hilarious. So those of you, that, by the way, that are on YouTube or on Twitter, wherever you are, if you're on YouTube, you should be able to comment. If you do, we'll be able to see that, and we'll put it up here. Maybe if you have a question, maybe we'll answer it later. But let's get into the news of the week, shall we? As if the billboard wasn't the news of the week. Let's talk about the starting rotation. The Reds are going to have a starting rotation.
Okay.
Yes. So the question is, who's it going to be? The Reds kind of announced their rotation this week. The big news there was not that Tyler Mahle's starting opening day or that Reaver San Martin should be starter San Martin now. Vladimir Gutierrez also going to be in the opening day rotation. And that's, of course, because Luis Castillo and Mike Minor are going to be injured, not start the season in the rotation. They will be in the rotation eventually. But the big news was Game 4 versus the Atlanta Braves, Hunter Green will be starting. To me, that was the most exciting news of the week. Hunter Green's going to break camp with the Reds. Outstanding. Can't wait to see what happens. Nate?
Yeah, it's awesome. I think there were a lot of people that were kind of nervous that they would manipulate his service time a little bit. But no, maybe if it's just a ploy to get some butts in the seats, but or I actually wanted that'll be on the road, so maybe it's just eyes on the screens. But I don't care. It's great. I cannot be more excited to watch the young fella go out there and hurl, you know, 100-mile-an-hour fastballs over and over, and hopefully he'll be followed shortly behind by a couple of his other young counterparts.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, it will be in Atlanta, game four. It will not be in Cincinnati. So I wasn't – there wasn't any danger of me going to the game anyway because I'm still going to boycott Bob this year. But very, very exciting. To me, just number one, you know, I hate to give the Reds too much credit, but they're not – they are not going to, quote-unquote, manipulate service time like they've done in the past with Green. I don't know they have a choice. I don't – they're so thin. There's so little depth top to bottom on this roster that I don't know they have much of a choice. But either way, let's, you know, credit where credit's due. They are going to break camp with Hunter Green. And, you know, what do we expect from Hunter Green this year? We'll talk maybe a little bit more about that later. But my answer is going to be consistently, don't expect a lot, okay? He's still a kid. If we get a lot, great, fantastic. If we don't, then, you know, he's still a kid. He's going to learn. But I'm thrilled at the opportunity to get to watch him. Nate, I know you're excited, but you're a little more excited to see Reaver San Martin. Is that true?
I mean, who's not? I didn't know who he was until last year, but he has pitched really, really well so far in the limited sample size. But, you know, any of these guys could, you know, sort of pick up the mantle and fill in the gap that we lost from some of those other guys that I'm not going to talk about anymore. Reaver's one of those guys. I mean, he's got the right jersey on, so I'm excited for him too.
You know, essentially what you're telling me is, Nate, you cheer for Laundrie.
I do cheer for Laundrie. I mean, sure. I don't know why I do. I blame you, but I've gone full into just optimism and positivity about this upcoming season. I'm over the sadness and the anger. So all these guys are now my favorite players.
There you go. That's a conversation we really need to have, frankly. And we don't have to get into it too much here today. But the fact of the matter is the season's here. And I've had some people reach out and say, oh, you know, I don't know. I'm worried. I'm starting to get excited now that the season's here. To me, which I say, enjoy it. Right? Enjoy it. It's baseball. Why do we follow it if it's not to enjoy it? So I say, have fun. Let's try to be optimistic right now. I did see a projection this week. I think it was Baseball Prospectus' Pecota projections had the Reds predicted for second place in the Central, winning like 78 games because the Central is awful. But still, second place, you know, that's better than we could.
One of the best seasons of my lifetime.
There you go, right? So, I don't know. Let's be optimistic. Hunter Green is one thing I'm optimistic about. Unfortunately, of course, Luis Castillo and Mike Minor are going to begin the year on the injured list, confirmed this week. Both dealing with sore shoulders. Nate, we're live here, so but are you getting some feedback when I talk? Just to make, does it sound okay to you?
Sounds fine to me. Much better than some of the past weeks.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm getting a little bit of feedback, and so you're getting a peek behind the curtain here. Sorry about that, those of you that are listening.
There might be some kinks that we need to work out. So
yeah, I figured out.
Let us know.
So Castillo and Mike Minor, the Reds, of course, traded for a pitcher with a sore shoulder. Good work, Nick Kroll. But so they're not going to be back. Hopefully they will be back at some point. Mid-April is what Nick Kroll said. The rule changed now. It was supposed to be 15 days. You had to stay on the injury list if you were a pitcher. They did change it back to 10 days. So they technically, by the time, if they are ready by mid-April, that fifth start, when it comes, actually the fifth game of the season, Tyler Malley is going to start. But the game after that, the Reds will probably need another starter. It could technically be Castillo or Minor if one of them are healthy. If it's not, do we see Nick Lodolo? Two rookies in the first week's worth of games. I'm here for that.
Yep. I project that Lodolo will be in the rotation, possibly as early as that second week. He's ready. You know, they got some 40-man shuffling to do, but he was kind of like, he was electrifying this spring. I know spring training is a grain of salt, but man, he looked good. He looked ready.
Yeah. We want to do that every year. Give too much credit to the spring results. We have to caution ourselves every year, but you're right. He's looked good. I think the reason it's Reaver San Martin over Lodolo now is what you just said. The Reds are going to make a bunch of 40-man roster moves, probably, before they finalize their roster going into next week's opening day. And so Lodolo, of course, is one that's going to have to be – they're going to figure it out. So there's no reason not to push that off until the last possible moment. Could be injuries. Hopefully not Lodolo getting injured, but it could be. And so they're going to wait. They're going to wait to do that. But the idea that Green and Lodolo could be pitching in the first six games of the year is amazing to me. It worries me a little bit in that we talk about the lack of depth. And again, I want to continue to try to be optimistic if I can, but look at those six games, the five pitchers in those six games. If it is Lodolo, you have three rookies. You have one guy that's a second-year guy that nobody really expected to be in the rotation last year in Vlad Gutierrez, who, you know, did well when he was up, still a kid. And then you have Tyler Mallett. That's not exactly, mid-90s Atlanta Braves rotation there. There's some upside, though.
Yeah, those mid-90s Braves pitchers had to start somewhere.
Did they start in a crappy Reds rotation?
Oh, wait.
So, yes, we will talk a lot, especially early in the season, about the lack of depth on this roster. And it's a real thing when it comes to the everyday players. It's kind of a disaster what's going on right now in terms of the lack of depth. When everyone's healthy, the Reds should have a little bit of depth in the pitching staff, and the starting pitchers. And so they don't now because everyone's not healthy. And if you're going to count on all your starters being healthy all the time, you're in trouble. But – you know, when Minor and Castillo are back, you got Mallett, Castillo, Minor, top three, and then you've got a bunch of other guys, the Vlad Gutierrez, Reaver San Martin, Hunter Green, Nick Lodolo for those last two spots, and all of a sudden you can mix and match a little bit, and it's not that bad. So could be. Oh, whoa! Who's that?
The Pod.
Who's
father.
That? The Pod Father is here. Can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
We can hear you as well. Welcome, Bill Lack. For those of you that are not watching on YouTube, it's Bill Lack. We're talking about Hunter Green in the rotation and possibly Nick Lodolo. Any thoughts?
I didn't think you were allowed to talk about Hunter Green.
Stop it. I told you we're not doing that joke anymore.
It's not a joke. That's the sad thing.
Hunter hasn't yelled at me in many years now.
That's because you quit talking about it.
I do not talk about Hunter Green anymore. Only kind things.
I'm kind of surprised. I'll be honest. I'm kind of surprised that Green is in the rotation instead of Lodolo, to be honest. I still think, that fifth guy is going to be Lodolo. There's nobody else. I mean, unless they use Hoffman or some, Joe, some guy that came in from off the street.
Bill is clearly not a Reaver San Martin fan.
Actually, I got no problem with Reaver San Martin.
He should just be Reliever San Martin.
I guess,
You're right.
To let everybody know, I've been trying to get on for like 15 minutes, and I had to reboot my computer and everything else. Nate, say something. I want to see if I can hear you.
You got me?
I can hear you. Because before, when you were talking, all I heard was Chad putting his drink down.
Well, if the listeners are lucky, they could hear you.
Oh, but I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, excellent. So anyway, that's exciting news. Hopefully Castillo and Mike Minor back soon. Mike Minor is not going to be a superstar, but I'm glad to have him. He's Wade Miley. Wade Miley light, probably. So he'll be fine, I would think, if he can stay healthy. But he's not healthy already. Castillo, they have to have. If they want to reach that 78-win projection, they have to have Luis Castillo.
Do you see them getting to 78 wins?
Yes.
I was a betting man.
If you were going to do an over-under at 79, what would you take?
Nate?
The emotion, I would put a small, I love the Reds bet on the over. But if I had to, if I had to risk the mortgage, I would probably go.
I don't see how they get the 79 wins. I just don't. I hope I'm wrong. I just don't. I don't see how.
Well, yeah, this kind of reminds me of some of those years where we were trying to. The way I always put it was, we're trying to squint, and you know, everything had to go right. If this team, the truth is, if things really break right for this team, they could be an above 500 team. I think that's a fact. The problem is, we're betting on a lot of health there, and career no team years. Is ever that healthy. Some good years, all right, but they're so thin, especially as we said in the Everyday Eight. I just, you know, I can't see. We're going to get to a situation where you've got some guys playing every day that are just not big league starters. And we're going to see some of that early in the year. I know. But we're going to be multiple guys. The pitching can be good if everyone gets healthy and stays healthy, and Green and Lodolo are what we hope they could be. The rotation actually could be the best part of this team. I fear they're going to struggle to score some runs. Ultimately, is what it comes down to. Let's talk about the everyday.
They got speed. They're going to steal bases. Don't you listen? They're going to be much better on the bases. They're going to steal bases.
I'm all about this team getting super weird with trick plays all the time. Squeeze bunts.
Run to third instead of first.
You know, yeah, mix it up.
Flea flicker occasionally.
There you go. Triple reverse pass.
Yeah, the Reds are going to, you know, manager David Bell said they're going to get better in a really, they're getting better in a really weird way. They're going to be, maybe that's what they're going to do. They're going back to straight 1970s, you know, steal bases and pitchers going, you know, eight innings.
Well, as you guys talked about last week, you know, they are getting better, but they drop back like 40 yards to move forward five. You know, is that really, you know, how stupid do they think people are?
Quite.
Quite. That's the answer. Yeah, we got way, way worse. But since we got worse from that point,
we got better.
We got a lot better. You know, come
on. Like, you know, it's like Phil saying the other day, have a little faith in us. That's what I have. Very little.
Very little faith. Yeah, you know, I already mentioned it once, and now Bill's mentioned it again. I was trying not to dive too deep into those ridiculous comments about Bob Castellini and Phil Castellini this week, because no one who listens to those believes it unless you're just, I don't know. If you believe it, I'm sorry. Just call the ticket office. But
God bless you if you believe that. The world cannot get by without people with faith. And those are people with faith. And God bless them, you know?
You have to have some faith.
They've wrung the faith out of me.
Let's talk about the outfield really quickly again, because there's not a ton, actually, of very interesting position battles in the spring like you sometimes have. One that's interesting only to us because we are, you know, we obsess about this team, I think, Nate's a – if you're not watching on the YouTubes, Nate's a haver of faith now. That's good. He was not Chris Rock earlier, which is good because I almost slapped him. The fifth outfielder. It looks like from what we've heard from David Bell, Tommy Pham is going to be the left fielder for the Reds. Looks like David Bell is leaning towards Nick Senzel and Tyler Naquin as the other two starting outfielders. Those are your presumptive starting trio. Again, you have to have Nick Senzel going back to being the guy we thought he was going to be, and then Naquin's Naquin. He got hot at times last year. It was great. Looks like Jake Fraley, who came over in the trade from Seattle, where the Reds relinquished Jesse Winker and Eugenio Suarez. Looks like he's going to make the team. So the last outfielder is going to be either Shogo Akiyama or Aristides Aquino. Doesn't look like both can make it. So, Nate, I'll go to you first, because I know you were having this conversation on our Slack channel a little bit with some people earlier today. What do we think, and should we care?
We probably shouldn't care for what that's worth, but we do, and you know, we're nerds. I'm a big fan of Shogo here. I want the guy to succeed. I understand that he has just looked simply overmatched almost his entire career with Reds, but he's never been given a fair chance. He's never gotten regular at bats. If there is something there, then I would at least like to know that. Aquino had that hot start, but also just really hasn't ever been good since then. So I like to see Shogo get the at-bats, and if give him a month or two regular playing time, and if he still doesn't have it, yeah, then you can look at cutting bait.
Yeah, the one thing I could see is, some sort of platoon with Aquino and Naquin, because they can't hit, they can only hit against one arm. I could see something like that. But the fact of the matter is, if you're not going to do that, I don't know how you can have Aquino and Akiyama. Both are flawed players who have basically had one good month each. The question is going to be, is Castellini is going to have to spend the money for Akiyama, whether they cut him or not, but are they going to be willing to cut bait and still pay him? They've not been willing to do that in the past. Bill, any thoughts on that?
Isn't every outfielder on this team a flawed player?
No.
Who isn't?
Kyle Farmer.
He's not an outfielder.
Kyle Farmer is everything. I won't listen to this slander.
I have to admit, when they signed Shogo, I was really excited and thought he was going to be a really good player, and he just hasn't been. I mean, even when given the opportunities, he hasn't performed. He has not gotten the opportunities that I would like for him to get because he's had health problems and whatever. But I thought he would be less of a slap hitter than he is. I thought he had more power than he has. And now they're saying he changed his swing and all that stuff. He blah blah blah. Aquino had like you guys have both said. Had,
episode number 417. Blah blah blah. That's the title of this one.
Aquino's had one, like you said, had one good month, and it was a month for the record books.
Historic, right?
Yeah. And then he turned back into Aquino. Shogo gives you a little bit better defense, but Aquino's not a bad defensive outfielder either.
Good athlete, yeah.
I don't think they're gonna platoon Naquin. I think Naquin's gonna be in right field every day.
They have to platoon him. Nate, did you have something you were getting ready to add a minute ago?
I just wanted to throw out there that everybody or a lot of people think of Aquino as this this prospect. If he can figure it out, he's 28 years old.
Yeah. Right.
How old is Akiyama?
79.
In dog years.
They age differently, in Japan.
There you go. I don't know what the deal is with Akiyama, frankly. I'm like both of you. I expected more out of him. And I think that we had a right to expect more out of him than we had to expect that of Aquino, who had no track record other than basically two-thirds of a season in AAA and then a great month in August. Akiyama was really good in Japan. And frankly, we know at this point, you can kind of translate Japanese stats into America and get some idea. It's not quite the same level of competition, but he had a track record that he should have been able to know why it was. I don't know if what the situation was, but he's getting, what's that name?
In his defense, he came over and COVID happened. And that's a weird way to start your career. And then I know he had some personal stuff happen last year. So he said
the thing with his wife, and then he got hurt.
Yeah, so he had a pretty rough couple of years off the field too. Yeah. That's why I would at least like to just see him get a shot.
Give him some at bats, yeah. And let's hope another tree doesn't fall on his wife. Bless her heart.
Do any of us honestly believe that the Reds are going to cut a guy that's still under contract?
Phil Castellini told us that they're trying to win. We need to trust them. I bet they will.
Hey, you know what? Slap singles, pretty weird. So I'm for it.
Well, the thing to remember too is that, and you guys may have said this while I was busy trying to reboot my computer. Aquino's out of options, so he either makes the team or he's gone. He's going to get put on waivers. Now, whether he goes through waivers and comes back, signs in Louisville, who the heck knows? But it's not like they can send him; they can option him.
Well, Akiyama has a clause in his contract that allows him to be a free agent if they try to designate him to AAA as well. So they're gonna lose one of these guys. Who do they want them to lose?
But you know what, though? They might try that because somebody else would have to pick up the contract.
And not that it's a crazy big contract for this day and age, but, yeah, is someone going to take that chance?
Eight mil,
that's nothing. I make that on an average Tuesday.
Well, you're a government employee. You got to kick back money.
Hey, watch it. Watch it. I hope the boss isn't listening. Oh, mercy. So again, these are the things we discuss because we're crazy at this time of the spring, but I'm not sure that it matters much either way, but I like both those guys. So I'm eager to see what happens. Let's talk next, if we could, about that Mariners trade we mentioned a moment ago, where Suarez and what's the guy's name? Winklevoss. That guy went to the Mariners. The Reds got a player to be named later that came over in that deal. So, and we finally found out who the player to be named later was. First of all, we got Justin Dunn, an injured pitcher, Brandon Williams and Jake Fraley, and a player to be named later in exchange for Suarez and Winkington. On Tuesday this week, Connor Phillips was named as that guy. Right-handed pitcher Connor Phillips was the player to be named later. You know, it was funny. Nick Kroll said, oh, you're going to really like who this player to be named later is. We don't know who he is yet, but you're going to like him. Nick Kroll, good at talking, said that earlier. And then, you know, the Mariners were like, oh, I hate to lose this guy. And Connor Phillips is, you know, seems like a decent guy. But he was the number 15 prospect in the Mariners organization. And we're not talking about a surefire thing. He was drafted in 2020 in the second round. 2019, he was actually selected in the 35th round by the Blue Jays, didn't sign. 2020 went in the second to the Mariners out of McLennan Community College, signed, and he's 6'2", will turn 21 early this year, and has never been out of single A. So, yeah, he may be good, but forgive me if I don't get that excited about some guy that's 21 and has never been out of single A. Either of you have any thoughts? I don't expect it, but.
Well, the other thing is, if you look at his picture on Baseball Reference, he's got like something sticking out of the side of his head.
Is it a knife?
I don't know. I can't tell what it is.
An arrow?
I don't know if it's like a bad haircut or, you know, whether he's doing the Steve Martin thing with the arrows coming out both sides. I don't know. It's just a strange picture.
I'm very excited
about this guy because the Castellinis told me that he was going to be a game changer.
He immediately became the number 14 ranked prospect in the Reds organization. Yay!
They win your World Series.
Yeah. All right, whatever. Connor Phillips, hope you're great. All right, so the other news of the week, the Reds made a bunch of cuts. Not many worth talking about. Kyle Zimmer, Ben Lively is back, and he got cut again. Philip Deal, Nate's guy, Graham Ashcraft, got sent to minor league camp. Nate, sorry about that.
He's got to work on that third pitch.
Where do you think he's going to end up this year to start the season, Nate?
I think they're going to start him in Double A.
I agree.
We'll advance him quickly if he's pitching well, but – he does need a little more time. He's going to be a starter. He needs to work on that third.
Was he at Dayton and Daytona last year?
Yes, if I'm not mistaken.
Now it's Daytona and Dayton, not Dayton and Daytona like it used to be. Thank you.
One thing that I thought was interesting, it looks like Dari Moretta, if you remember him from last year, who all complaining all year long that the Reds wouldn't bring him up until the very end. Looks like he's going to be on the opening day roster. So that's a good thing. I mean, you know, again, they say we're leaning into our youth and we're building from within, which is really an excuse to let some rookies play, which I wish they had done that the last couple of years, but at least those are some guys, Moretta, that I want to watch, Hunter Green, Nick Lodolo, that I want to see play. So,
well, additionally, if you believe that this was part of a cohesive plan, you might be able to buy into it. I mean, if they'd have done this last year, when they still had a chance and brought up some of these, you know, these guys, you know, Barrero is probably a prime example. Guys that could have helped them rather than sitting pat and saying, well, once we get healthy, we'll be good. You know,
that's a good Nick Kroll imitation.
like you said, it's exciting that we've got some talent in the minor league organization and we're going to see it. But we did it at the expense of a vast majority of the proven major league players. And you can't, you know, clear the decks and restart every 3 years and think you're going to get rid of the peaks and valleys.
Yeah, I'm just I'm not going to relitigate that, Bill. You're 100% correct, and I'm just going to leave it at that because I just unbelievable.
Can we record that? Because Ted has never ever said that in the 25 years plus that I've known him. Say, will you say that again, please?
No, I'm not going to say it again, but it'll be on YouTube, so you can go in and watch it as many times as you want because it'll be the last time.
Put it on a loop.
So let's get to the topic of the week before we get into some viewer mail. The topic of the week this week is prediction time. This is the time of the year when we always make predictions here on the Riverfront, or the artist formerly known as Red Leg Nation Radio. And so this year, Nate actually had the idea to do it a little bit different than we usually do these predictions. And Nate, why don't you go ahead and kind of tell us what your Bill? All right, Bill's gone. Bill's out. He's gone. How dare he? If you're not watching on YouTube, don't, because Bill's a disaster. Nate, tell us what your idea was to do, for how we should accomplish these predictions.
Yeah, Chad and like nine other people are the only people left that still care about the Oscars, but
it's true
that it kind of captured the public conscious this week after some interesting events, and we thought it to be
shenanigans. Nate, just let's call it like it is. Shenanigans.
Shenanigans ensued. We wanted to sort of just run with that a little bit and use the Oscars format to make our predictions for the 2022 season. I think we missed an opportunity to title these the Tom Amansky Fielding Academy Awards.
So we're going to use some, we crowdsourced these over at hold on our pod father. We're coming to you. We crowdsourced these with our Slack channel guys at Riverfront, patreon.com/riverfrontcincy. And so we have some categories. So Bill, you're eager to get in on something here. Go ahead and let's hear it.
I want to do two things before we get started here. One is I know you guys were talking about the Oscars thing earlier. I can think the whole thing was a setup. I believe the whole thing was a setup to boost ratings. I firmly believe that.
It's not impossible.
And number two, this goes back to something you guys were talking about last week about Amir Garrett going to the Royals when you were talking about the trade. I would not be at all surprised if he has a year that and not necessarily this year, but he is going to find himself somewhere and turn into a phenomenal relief pitcher because he's just got too much talent to be as bad as he's been for the last couple of years. I really think there isn't anybody that the Reds have traded in the last few years that it would surprise me less to see their talent explode than Amir Garrett.
Because the talent's always been there. I'm not sure what that has to do with Will Smith, but I don't think you're wrong.
Two different points there, Pinhead.
they're both good at attacking other people.
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
We'll both charge the stage and the dugout, you know? that's all I wanted to get in before we started with and I'm not even going to bring up Licorice Pizza.
Number one movie of last year, Licorice Pizza, Paul Thomas Anderson. Incredible film. Nate, did you see Licorice Pizza?
Not yet. It's on the list for this weekend.
It'll be two hours of your life you'll wish you could get back.
The best movie I've seen this year is Tick, Tick, Boom. Andrew Garfield's performance was just otherworldly and one of the best I've seen in a long, long time.
Not the best movie of the year to me, but very good. Very good. My movie of the year was, of course, Licorice Pizza. Bill, go ahead. What was the best movie you saw last year? Do you have it off the top of your head?
Couldn't even tell you. I don't remember seeing one that I thought was really, really good. So my son and I went and saw The Batman a couple of weeks ago. It was pretty good. It was
good.
Could have cut about 30 minutes out of it, I think, and it would have been better.
Nate and I and our brothers have had that conversation this week. That, man, amazing, looked gorgeous. Could have probably took about 30 minutes out.
I thought the finale, you know, the big action finale was kind of like, okay, that's it.
No spoilers. Gosh.
I will say that.
I didn't say what it was. I just thought it was kind of anticlimactic.
I couldn't believe that Robin the Boy Wonder died at the end. That's the part that really got me.
Well, I couldn't believe that Batman and Batgirl did that on a trampoline.
Yikes. Oh, it's getting PG-13. What's next?
Live podcast. I think any Batman movie that does not have Maggie Gyllenhaal.
Oh, my goodness.
An improvement.
I agree. But there was a Maggie Gyllenhaal movie this year that was really good, I thought. You disagreed. I know, Nate. But She was the director, writer and director of it, The Lost Daughter.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, that's too much movie talk. Let's get to our predictions for the year. First category is this: best actor in a lead role for 2022 in the Cincinnati Reds. Who's the best actor in the lead role? By, of course, we mean who's going to be the most valuable player on this team. Nate, I'll let you take the lead.
I think this year we're going to have some strong seasons from some familiar faces, but I think our boy Jonathan India is going to be the team MVP this year. I think he's going to put up some stats, but his attitude and energy are going to kind of set the tone for the club. So he is my choice for best actor in a lead role.
You had a couple of guys last year who were legitimate MVP candidates for much of the year in Jesse Winker and Nick Castellanos, but you could make the argument by the end of the year that India was last year's MVP. I mean, Bill, who's the best actor in the lead role here?
My concern with India, I'm worried about a sophomore slump from India. I hope I'm wrong, but it concerns me. I'm picking Tyler Stevenson.
I
think he's going to get a ton of at-bats at different places. They're going to try to get him in the lineup, just about every day. If he's not catching or playing first base, he'll probably DH. I really think he could have a breakout season and be the man off the Reds.
Yeah, there's a chance we haven't been talking about him enough this offseason.
Yeah, no, last year I said that I believe that – I said a couple times that Tyler Stevenson will ultimately make more All-Star games than Jonathan India. I think he's going to have a better career. I love the guy. And with a designated hitter this year, but he'll get a chance to be in the lineup 6 days a week. And so he's going to have a huge year. Probably, I was looking through it, I started to say Tyler Stevens because I think it's a good call. I think India is a good call. For me, it was between three guys: Stevenson, Joey Votto.
Yeah,
Joey Votto.
I thought that was the
feature piece that I wrote for the print Cincinnati Magazine coming out in the May issue. I think I got to see the layout today and the artwork, and it's amazing. I love it. The title is "Joey Votto is the Greatest Red of All Time." And I can't wait for you all to read that. But obviously, here's who I'm going for: best actor in a lead role, Reds team MVP for 2022, Kyle Farmer.
Boom.
It has to be Kyle Farmer, and because he does so many things for this team. Next category: best pitcher. Nate, best pitcher. That's how we say it down in the mountains, right?
That's right. So
now I've lost you, Nate. I can't hear you. I think it's on me. Go ahead, explain why it's best pitcher. And
I can
best
hear him, pitcher. Chad. Can you hear me, Chad? I can hear Nate.
All right. I got you, Bill. So,
all right.
Yeah, so instead of best picture, we decided since we would tie this into Chad and my hillbilly roots, and a lot of people back home, they pronounce the word pitcher. So this is the best pitcher, and you may have guessed by now that we are going to nominate our choice for the best pitcher. Bill, who do you got? Who's going to be the Reds pitching MVP, best pitcher on the Reds?
I got Tyler Malley. I think he'll be the Reds' best pitcher by a long, long, way. I don't even think anybody else will be close.
Well, I would say Castillo if it weren't for the injury concerns, but I think my odds-on favorite right now is Tyler Malley.
Yep.
I don't know when we'll see Castillo. And I was going to say this earlier, I have zero faith in the Reds medical staff. So I just saw something come across that says, Sims hopes to be back after the first week of the season. Uh-huh.
Yeah, he and Nick Massett will be back around the same time, and Sean Marshall. Well, that's a deep cut for those of you that have been listening to the podcast for years.
Wow.
So, Nate, you have Malley as well, Nate?
I had Malley too, yeah. So no pressure, Tyler, but we all think that you're going to have
– you demand.
Let us down.
A sweep of that category. Best supporting actor. That's not the team MVP. I'm actually going to go with Tyler Malley again on that one. I don't think he's going to be the best player on the Reds team, but I would not be surprised if he's one of the top two. Who do you guys have?
Bill?
The sad thing about that, Chad, is if Tyler Malley is the Reds' second best player, they aren't going to be close to 79 wins. I'm gonna go out on a limb here and take Chad's guy. I'm gonna say Nick Senzel is finally gonna be healthy, and he's gonna put it together and have an above average Major League Baseball season.
I am here.
Yes.
Love that message.
Man, I hope that happens. That's Bill being optimistic, and I'm here for it. I would love if that happens. I'm at the point where Nixon's out still. He's still the guy that I think he can be, but he's going to have to show us at this point. I'm not counting on it ever again. And you're not, I know, either, Bill. Nate, who's your best supporting actor?
I went with our boy JDV, Mr. Votto. I think if the Reds are going to be even decent this year, having him putting up that 40-homer season people have been talking about and just doing other Joey Votto stuff.
What's a good year for Votto at this point in his life, do you think? Do you think he can reproduce last year?
I do.
Yeah, why not?
I mean, I understand he's Joey Votto, but even, you know, what do you say all the time? Age is undefeated, Chad?
Father time is undefeated, but Joey, I'm not going to accuse
him. 15th round.
right. Again, the things he did last year seems to me like they would be things he could – he's not going to be able to reproduce them indefinitely. But I will not bet against him reproducing last year at least one more time.
Yeah, right.
He made those adjustments to combat Father Time.
Yeah.
In his career by, 20, 30 more years.
I mentioned last week that I had a chance to interview him, and one of the questions I asked, and you'll see this in the piece that I wrote, but one of the questions I asked was just to ask him his thoughts about his name being mentioned with the Benches and the Morgans and the Larkins, in Reds history. And I mean, he was gracious and gave a good answer, but he made sure to start every time he got anywhere close to that area of where do I fit in Reds history. He made sure to say, "I'm still playing. I'm not finished." He said, "I have things still to prove," and so I'm hopeful that that'll be the case. Although I'll say he's proved everything I need him to prove by just watching his TikTok account. Nate, I know Bill doesn't know what TikTok is.
This is a perfect segue into the next category because his TikTok account is my choice for best comedy.
Best comedy. Well,
it was going to be Joe Farson called this the Nick Kroll press conference honorary award.
And I think, you might as well just engrave his name on it like every year because it's all, as long as he's the Reds GM. First runner up is Bob Castellini. Second runner up is Phil Castellini for most ridiculous performance in front of a group of reporters.
Right. But I would have said Crawl or something like that until I saw Votto's TikTok today where he was basically imitating Carl Spackler from Caddyshack. And it was. He's just like he's coming out of his shell, and but he can curate it himself. It's not dependent on somebody else. He can put out what he wants to put out, and I'm here for it. It's
so good at it.
Oh my goodness!
Your goal.
Yeah, he had like a minute long video on Instagram last week, and of course, I have nothing better to do in my life. I sat and watched it, and he gives this whole talk about what he's going to do on Instagram, and then he says, "But mostly, what I'm going to do is just every single meal. I'm going to take pictures of every." Single meal. And he like stares in the camera and goes, "No, never." And they just continue staring in the camera for about 5 seconds and it ends. I mean, it's just, that guy is a treasure. He's just a treasure. And I would take Joey Votto's movie recommendations.
I'd take him before yours.
Easy, partner. Best performance from a newcomer. This is the best rookie award. And there's some choices here.
We have all kinds of choices.
Yeah. Bill, I'll let you jump in if you want to jump in first, or you can give it to one of us.
I think Nick Lodola, he's the guy that I really think he is going to have a providing he can stay healthy, which has been a problem with the blisters and then the shoulder. If he can stay healthy, I think he can be competitive on the major league level right out of the gate. I really do. I expect him to have a better year than Hunter Green does.
Nate?
Yeah, Lodolo was my choice too. I think Hunter Green has just as good of a chance to take this.
Don't start this.
But sorry if you're not watching on YouTube. Bill didn't realize I had admin privileges and I changed his name there. Go ahead, Nate.
Yeah, I think it's Lodolo, but Hunter Green's going to have a chance to run away with it as well. But he's just a little bit young, and I think that those power pitchers at that age, they're going to rely on that fastball. Hitters these days can hit it, so he needs a little bit more time to learn to pitch. And I think Lodolo is just a little bit ahead of him in that regard.
Yeah, I think we're all going with Lodolo here. And maybe that's just, I don't know, maybe we're just picking against the guy with the most talent. Hunter Green has the most talent. Hunter Green has a higher ceiling. Nick Lodolo has a lower floor, is the way I would put it. Nick Lodolo is going to be, if he can stay healthy, and that's a big if, he's going to be a legitimate big league pitcher for a long time. Hunter Green very well may be as well. But I'm not sure yet what Hunter Green's going to be. You know, he could end up being a lights out, back of the bullpen guy. You know, that might be his floor. I hope not. Yeah, I'm not suggesting that's what the Reds should do. Lodolo, though, just, you know, he's a college guy, you know, and I expect he's going to be a little bit more ready this year. So,
you know, it's interesting, though, and I don't know whether this is because of his injury or because of the ways that the Reds have treated him. None of us brought up Barrera.
I thought about it.
He's sort of fallen out of the, you know,
the discussion. Yeah.
Yeah. It's because of that injury. We don't know when he's going to be back or how severe it is, but he very well could be.
Well, the injury plus the fact that I'm not entirely sure how much he's in the Reds' plans. You know, they've kind of jerked him around a little bit. I don't know what their plan is for him. So,
and as you guys talked about last week, there's two other shortstops in the system that get a lot of press too.
And are big time prospects. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, we joked off and on about No. We've joked off and on about the kid getting pushed into the outfield. And we talked about a few weeks ago, the Reds have had a history of moving shortstop to the outfield that did pretty darn well too. So it's not.
Can you name one?
I can name one named Eric Davis. He was pretty
good. No, that's not the best one.
That's the only one I can think of that was any good.
Comic book superhero, Billy Hamilton. Eric Davis was a comic book superhero.
But anyway, you know, so there may come a time when Barrero's playing in the outfield or McClain or what's the third guy's name? It just ran out of my head.
Ila De La Cruz.
Yeah. You know, if you can play shortstop in the big leagues, you can play the outfield.
Well, here's my thing. I don't mind the idea of Jose Barrero being a everyday outfielder on the big league level. My whole thing is just that if you can stick at shortstop, you need to stick at shortstop and not have Kyle Farmer beat you out of the position, right?
That's the problem. Him not playing shortstop so you can play Kyle Farmer at shortstop is what makes no sense.
Whoa, because they don't think he can play shortstop, that's one thing. All right, Bill. How dare you? Nate, go ahead. Get at him.
This is the Kyle Farmer fan club podcast that you joined here. You need to change your tone, sir.
I'm out.
All right, a couple more categories. Let's run through these because we have some viewer mail questions I want to get to. Best director, most impactful coach, manager, front office employee. I started to abstain because there's no one that I think is any good necessarily. But I'm going to say Nick Kroll because when you say impactful, I think he is impacting this team in the wrong direction. So Nick Kroll wins my vote.
That's fair. I went with Derek Johnson, I think, with all the young arms and on the roster that DJ.
Oh, yeah.
Going to play a big role.
I remember him. He's good. That's right. They do have a good pitching coach.
You said impactful, but not necessarily in a good way. I'll say anybody with the last name Castellini.
I left it open to that. I had in the notes originally think of this as like the Time Person of the Year, Time Magazine. It doesn't always mean they're a good person.
That's right. They are Adolf Hitler, Bob Castellini, you know.
Yikes. All right.
Positive. So Derek Johnson is going to have a just roster full of healthy arms, and the Reds are going to win 82 games.
Next category, best cinematography. We've already answered this one, I think. It's the player with the best social media presence. That's got to be Joey at this point, right? Who else would it be?
If they go out and sign Johnny Cueto, then I think that we have a tough battle there for the top two.
That's true. And I'll give kudos to Jonathan India in the offseason. He did not hesitate to show up all of the offseason long wearing Bengals gear. He was trying to appeal to the Cincinnati fans, so kudos to him.
He attended a number of Bengals. I don't know if he went to the games, but he sure went to the tailgates before the games.
Yeah. He didn't go to the barber.
Well,
kid needs to cut his hair.
As you guys kind of hinted about last week, I think that has become a prerequisite to being traded to the Reds, is you have to have the golden locks.
Good.
Chad, you and I Nate, I don't think any of us could play for the Reds at this point. You know, a little too thin on the top for me.
You have to be as good as Joey.
Yeah.
funny Twitter account today in Reds Facebook this week had a the Reds posted a picture of Indy in his hair, and they posted some comments. Our buddy that runs that account posted some comments of people complaining about how he needs a haircut. I mean, you know, who cares, really? You know,
even I don't say that.
Yeah, you're kind of a fake grumpy guy. You play it for the purposes of this podcast, but yeah, I mean, just cut his hair. All right, last question: the Lifetime Achievement Award, aka the Joey Votto Award. Nate, who wins the Lifetime Achievement Award, aka the Joey Votto Award?
This is Joey Votto's award until he decides to stop playing. He just gets it every year. We'll always mention it because it gives us a chance to heap love, praise, and adoration on our favorite Red, Joseph.
Another reason to give him some love. Yeah, absolutely. So anyway, those are the Cincinnati Reds preseason Academy Awards. I didn't want to slap either of you. And that was not scripted, by the way.
We almost had another category for best supporting actress, and it was going to be the player's wife or girlfriend that had the best social media presence, but we figured that we should keep all of their wives' names out of our mouths.
I looked at that though, and didn't have any idea. And the only person, the one that I knew, and she's not here anymore, was Tucker's wife. She had a very active and a good Twitter account.
I was going to vote for Matt Latos's wife, if you recall that way back in the day. All right. Anyway, let's move on to our viewer mail questions. These questions come from our friends at patreon.com/riverfrontcincy. That's patreon.com/riverfrontcincy. Before we do the first one, can I ask you a favor? Can you like and subscribe at YouTube, please? It costs you nothing. Just like, subscribe now. Like, go smash that subscribe button. And then when we go live like this, you'll get a notification. First question comes from Joe Farsing. Joe's question is this: last pod before the season starts. So give me a couple of bold predictions. Bold predictions. First bold prediction. I think Bill made a bold prediction that I'm going to use as one of mine, which is that Tyler Stevens is going to be the best offensive player, maybe the MVP of this team by the end of the season. That's a pretty bold prediction that I think has a chance of being correct. Nate, do you have a bold prediction?
The Reds are going to claim that final playoff spot. They're going to get top 10 MVP seasons from Votto and Jonathan India, and Nick Senzel is going to win Comeback Player of the Year. Boom.
Wow. Man, that's a lot of fingers you're counting on there, you know? Mine would be Nick Senzel plays 135 games this year.
That is
how about this bold prediction? Nick Lodolo is the best pitcher on the best starter on the team this year.
I like it.
It's pretty bold. I could see it happening though.
Well,
next quote. Go ahead.
Going into the season, don't you think he's probably the third? You know. In terms of talent, probably number three.
In terms of talent, if we don't include Luis Castillo, and probably Mike Minor. I mean, you know, it depends on what you think about Minor. Talent's one thing, but if we're talking about sheer talent, he's behind Hunter Green.
Right.
But in terms of likelihood to be, you know, a legit pitcher this year, he's up there.
I'm not sure when we're going to see Castillo or Minor, just because. I don't have any faith in what the Reds medical staff tells me. I just don't after all these years.
Why not? They've never.
We might see him, you know, in the end of April. We might see him at Labor Day in a parade.
Hey, did you see the parade? Did you see the parade news? Grand Marshal of the parade this year? Barry Larkin?
Mr. Larkin.
Everybody likes Barry Larkin. Next question. Next question comes from Calvin Medcalf. Calvin says, Tommy Pham has openly said he's on a revenge tour and is only looking out for himself. I'm not sure those are the exact words, but it's in the neighborhood. Do we still think he's a good fit for this organization, or are we as fans willing to overlook this poor mindset if he performs well? Predict his homer numbers, guys. Thanks. Can't wait to become seriously tired from watching these games 5 hours ahead. Our buddy Calvin is over in the UK, so good luck with that. But, you know, I have to get up early to watch all your Premier League football games, so I don't feel too much sympathy for you. Tommy Pham, I hope Tommy Pham on a one-year deal is absolutely looking out for himself and trying to have the best individual season he can have. Does anyone disagree with me?
I hope he has a Ron Gant-ish season.
Yeah, I think the lockouts reminded us this is a business. And chase stats and still a positive presence in the clubhouse. Go out there, get those numbers, hit 30 home runs, get on base a ton, just rake against lefties. And
back when the world was young, every year Pete Rose went into spring training and said his goal was to get 200 hits in a season.
Is that selfish?
If he got 200 hits in the leadoff spot, you were going to score some runs.
Pham did say some really complimentary things about, I think called Votto the hitting coach and some of the other players. So I'm not too worried about it. I think that he was a little annoyed. I mean, he's having a bad day that day for all I know. But, yeah, he's going to go out there and chase. He's going to try to do the best he can on the field, and that only helps the ball club.
Yeah, no issues with it whatsoever. Next question comes from Hooper Powell. Hooper, if you guys were starting a band, which three Reds would you ask to join? Also, would it be a jam band, a boy band, or a death metal band?
I love this question.
It's going to be a jam. It's going to be a jam band. Jonathan is the first one I ask.
Oh, yeah, hair. You got to have the hair.
Yeah.
And you got to have Tyler. You got to have Tyler Stevenson on bass.
Really? That's interesting.
You got to have You got to have the tall guy on bass. You might even have a stand-up bass.
I took a different. Oh. I went boy band.
Okay.
I grew up in the NSYNC Backstreet Boys era, 98 Degrees, that boy Nick Lachey. 98 Degrees, number one. I think Tyler Stevenson is the heartthrob. He's a handsome man. I think Jonathan Indy is there. He's got the fun, a little bit of a bad boy look to him. And then I went with Hunter Green because I think that smile is going to play with the ladies.
All right.
I'm modeling my band after the Allman Brothers. So.
I'm modeling my band after the greatest band of all time, Hanson.
I thought you were going to say ABBA. I didn't know who you were going to pick to be in your ABBA band.
Jerry Sanuth, the Reds traded for prospects and not MLB-ready talent. This is actually what we wanted done in 2015 but didn't get. If this is what they're trying to do, why couldn't they have articulated this point better? Are they too cheap to spring for decent PR folks as well as decent ball players? Well, I think that's a reasonable point, Jerry. I think that is what we wanted when the Reds traded Cueto and all those guys way back then.
Jay Bruce.
Jay Bruce, all of them. But then if they had done that, it would had been an indication they were committing to an actual rebuild rather than the kind of half measures they were doing. I don't think it's just a PR problem. I think it's just they don't know what they're doing right now. I think they're just struggling they don't have a plan. They're struggling for a direction. Yes, it's what we wanted. And yes, it's better than going out and getting the Jose Peraza's of the world, But on the other hand, it's indicative of a lack of any sort of plan as far as I'm concerned. Either of you have anything to say?
I think every day Nick Kroll comes into work, puts his little briefcase down, sits at his desk. His phone rings, he answers it, and he responds to who's ever on the end of that phone with no idea how it affects anything else he did the day before. That phone call is all he can focus on, and I'll trade you so-and-so for so-and-so. Ooh, that's a good deal. We'll do that. Whether it makes any sense for the long-term significance for this ball club or not.
Yeah, the moves were going to stink no matter what, but here we are.
There we go. Scott Boldman, let's see. Scott has a couple questions. We'll answer the first one here because we're running short on time. Hunter Green pitched 106 innings last year. He mentioned 130 in an interview. What's his likely limit? A 20% increase would allow for roughly 25 starts at 5 innings per. How about Lodolo, who only pitched 60 innings last year? So, yeah, what's the limit? I can't imagine that either of those go more than 150 innings. I think that's the absolute max. But, yeah, Lodolo only pitched 60 innings, so – that's something to think about. How well are they going to manage that? Are they just going to ride their arms and see if they can throw 200 innings? Because who cares? They're not going to sign with the Reds when they become free agents anyway. They'll trade them away before they become a free agent. Either of you all had any thoughts on that?
It's a very good point, and it affects the things we talked about earlier when we were talking up Lodolo so much and if he's only going to pitch 120, let's use the number 120 innings. How valuable can he really be at 120 innings in terms of the whole season? And the same thing with Green. At some point, do they go back to the piggyback idea? You know, the old Homer Bailey days. I don't know. I agree with you. I can't see either one of them going more than 120 innings or something. And Lodolo, I don't even think they'll let him get that high.
I agree.
Kyle Kapler, besides a general manager of an MLB franchise, what other career would Nick Kroll be bad at? I'm going with teacher, as no one would learn anything. I mean, I think the obvious answer is here. He could never be a PR professional. You know, can you imagine him being a spokesman for some corporation, or how about a presidential, press secretary? Oh my goodness, can you imagine?
I don't know. I kind of thought he might be great at that. Who's better at saying nothing?
Explosive ordnance disposal.
He will not be asked to join my boy band.
He's not in the boy band. At least we know that. Oh, that's good. Rich Thompson, gentlemen, look at me.
He's going to be the manager of your boy band, Nate.
There you go. Yeah.
Nick Lachey is going to manage the boy band.
Rich Thompson asks, gentlemen, look into your crystal balls. I don't know if either of you have crystal balls, but he says, of course, they do have to have a red stitching like a baseball. That sounds painful. And tell me when you see Nick Lodolo as a permanent fixture in the Reds starting rotation if he remains injury-free. It's a good question. I think this year.
Yeah. I think April.
If he's injury-free,
April until they shut him down.
Yeah.
As long as he stays healthy.
Agreed.
Yeah, maybe that's optimism, but.
Well, the other thing we've talked, and how many years have we been saying this, Chad? As long as the Reds are going to be patient with him, and I don't know that they're going to have any option but to be patient with him because they don't have anybody else that they're going to be able to bring up and stick in his spot if he struggles. They're just going to have to let these young guys struggle through. And the big thing, we've been hammering on this for a million years, is we as fans have got to be patient with these guys. Young players, especially pitchers, struggle.
Yeah, it's going to happen. James Urban, there's only one answer to this question, by the way. Which former Red do you wish you could watch opening day with? Nate, I'll let you answer this one first.
Adam Dunn. It's got to be
Adam Dunn. It's the only answer, right?
Double fisting.
I would say that maybe the only other person I could think of would be Paul Janisch.
That's because you want him to buy you a donkey. You want to buy his donkey? No,
that's Cozart. That was Cozart.
Oh, you're right. I'm sorry.
I do want Giannis to buy me a donkey for what it's worth.
Yeah, exactly. I've long thought that. Absolutely. I thought we had a comment from our buddy Joey Gaditza. It's not showing up. Maybe it will in a moment. But either way, Joey, thank you for being a part of the broadcast tonight. Last question.
I'll tell you what, though. I would like to watch, not necessarily now, but 10 years ago, I would like to sit down and watch the game with Pete Rose.
I would like to now with Pete Rose because with, you know, DraftKings and we could sit and I could get his advice on how to bet.
And do the opposite.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Last question comes from our friend Carl Mitz. Carl asks this. The lineups this year are going to be tricky. If y'all had to build the best lineup possible with the roster as it's shaping up, including likely platoons, what would it look like? Curious as to where Tommy Pham fits in. Second in Winker's old slot. He's crying about that, Carl says. Or somewhere more in the middle of the lineup. Thanks. First of all, I think that Indy's your leadoff. And I think Pham's your number two hitter. If I'm making the lineup, I like Pham at number two. Guy gets on base. Either of y'all disagree with those. Let's build it together.
That's how I had it.
I kind of like Pham in a three, but I don't know who I want in the two. Maybe Stevenson.
See, I go with Stevenson at three and Votto four.
Okay.
See, I might go Votto two, Pham three, Stevenson four.
I had that flipped. I went Votto three, Stevenson four. I feel like there's just a stigma that comes with being – that number three slot, and maybe let Tyler Stevenson get a few more innings under his belts before we put that burden on a young fella.
And then, you know, five through nine, depends on the day.
Yeah. I'd say Naquin's probably going to be five more often than not, unless Aquino's in with him.
Senzel, six.
Who'd you have, Nate?
I'd Moose at five.
Yeah, I guess Moustakas, if he's healthy. So Moustakas, Naquin, 5-6, Senzel, 7.
And then pick your Senzel, Naquin.
Who are we forgetting? There's a DH in there Farmer. Somewhere as well.
You're running Mr. Farmer.
Kyle Farmer's 9.
Yes.
Farmer.com.
Farmer's 9. Senzel, Naquin, and then you think Jake Fraley, maybe Solano against lefties if he's healthy.
Yeah, Nate, you literally just said Jake Fraley, maybe Solano. Good Lord.
I have no reason for this at all, but Jake Fraley's going to have an awesome year. He's going to be fun. I don't know why I'm thinking that.
I like anyone named Jake, but come on.
Like Jake from State Farm?
Exactly like Jake from State Farm, yes. All right, I think that's a good place to stick a pin in it. Any final thoughts, Nate Dotson?
I'm excited for the next podcast to be after the season has begun. I'm ready. It's going to be a fun year. No matter all the noise, all the crap aside, we're going to have a lot of fun this year. Thanks to everyone for listening and being a part of this. And look out for a billboard.
Absolutely. So, Bill, any final thoughts?
It'll be nice to actually be able to second guess David Bell next podcast.
Yeah, we actually get to get back to
talking about baseball.
I'll kind of echo what both of you all have really said, which is that, you know what, this has been a rough offseason for Reds fans, but this is the time of the year that I always, always, always get excited. I'm ready to watch the Reds. I'm ready to watch baseball. I'm excited. Are the Reds going to be great? Probably not, but you know what? It's the spring, and hope springs eternal. All right, this is the Riverfront, episode number 417. Listen, go to youtube.com/riverfrontcincy. Give us a like. Give us hit that subscribe button, please. Come on. It costs you nothing. Subscribe. Hit that little bell symbol, and you'll get notifications when we go live. We're going to try to do that more often during the season. We're at Riverfront Cincy on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook, everywhere. And if you want to support the podcast and join the family that is has coordinated to get this billboard that's going up this week, go to patreon.com/riverfrontcincy. You can join the family. Guys, a lot of fun. Thank you so much for joining me.
Till next time.
For Nate Dotson, for Bill Lack, and for the GOAT, Paul Janisch, this is Chad Dotson saying so long, everyone.